When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Forever.
What's up?
I mean, I normally do a little spiel, but I wanted to see where the wind would take ye.
Oh, I was just, you know, we fallen into a groove. I was ready to just kind of fall into that, but thank you for shaking it up. Do you want me to have a go?
I kind of want to see. I want to see your spin. I want to see it.
Okay, cool. What it is, what it do, what it be, everybody. Welcome to Iconography. I'm Olivia.
Keeping it lean. I like it. This is Iconography, the podcast where I O'Debrie,
and I, Olivia Craighead,
take you, our listener, on a journey of the mind, body, and soul. We transform you sonically. you hear me? Sonically, we transform you to become not a mind that just experiences and consumes, but a mind that takes this energy into the physical realm, into the world of wheels and deals, that of celebrity.
This feels right.
Every episode.
Oh, keep going.
Welcome to the Nexium cult.
That guy is in jail. His trial or his sentencing is coming up.
I'm excited for the doc. It's coming. HBO yeah. Max. I got that Max subscription.
I need to get a Max subscription.
Come on, mine.
Okay.
Split it with me. Because I'm actually, to be honest, was looking for a third person to split it with. So.
Oh, absolutely. I have to watch Search Party.
You hear this?
What is that?
Little kid. I'm recording right now in the park with no mask on. I'm coughing in the park. I'm recording my podcast. Now, my neighbor's got a granddaughter, I believe. So sometimes she'd just be running around.
Sure.
A little ragamuffin. She's cute.
Anyway, what I was going to say is that is what you
can't really call kids ragamuffins these days. Sorry.
I think that's fine.
Thanks.
I was gonna say that your opening sounded like very much like the opening of like a Shakespeare play, like
ooh,
like a Romeo and Juliet, like mm-hmm. in Fair Verona, where we lay our scene type yeah. beat. I yeah. loved it.
Thank you. I'm a Moor with donkey legs. Everybody's like, "What the fuck?"
Not what the donkey head, but the legs.
I got the legs of a donkey. He was like really running
like
out of ideas,
but it's like fucked up. It's like. Not hot Mr. Tumnus. It's like,
forsooth, laying in my brain is an idea for which two Moors, well, one sort of Moor-ish,
the new
thing.
Kenya Barris show, Moor-ish.
Moor-ish.
It's a historical comedy.
Write it, sell it, pitch it. That's money.
That's money.
Freeform money. We can sell that to Quibi. I'm not gonna lie.
Moor-ish?
Olivia, wait, let's just write that for 5 minutes and sell it to Quibi.
Okay.
It's like a spoof on both Shakespeare and like the Blackish series. Great.
Listen, I know Katz listens to the pod, so we're in. Jeffy, if you're listening, email us.
Jeffy Boo Boo, Jeffy Baby. We know you're listening.
We know you're listening.
We know you. We know you're using BetterHelp. We know you're using Feels, Jeffy Baby. But it's not about Jeffy Baby, Olivia. It's about you and me, baby.
It is.
Because normally each episode we invite a guest on, and they will talk about a celebrity who is an icon to them. Then, betwixt ourselves,
I'm in the realm.
We debate and talk about if this person is an icon or not, going through their life, their career, their persona in the public, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's been a whole season of it. Whatever. Because sometimes there's special episodes where it's just me and Olivia.
Just us. Just the two of us.
Little accent?
Just the two of us. I'm trying mid-Atlantic, I think. Is that fun?
Oh, I didn't know that that's what it was.
Sure. Why not?
I thought it was just sort of like, well, anyway. It's just the two of us.
And it's also, Io, it's the last episode of our season.
It is the last episode of the season.
We're now telling you guys this time, so don't.
So that y'all can't be up in the friggin' iTunes reviews giving us low star ratings saying they've betrayed us.
We're not betraying it. We are simply two people.
Just trying to make it work cross country over Zoom with jobs.
Jobs and personal lives. Depression. Shout out to people who really podcast every single week.
Yo, that shit's different.
That is so crazy. And I'm, you know, very impressed.
We used to do it.
Yeah. And it, you know.
Yeah, it got to work.
It's so, it's so much work.
It's hard. And not that we didn't have appreciation before, but I think we definitely do have more appreciation now.
Absolutely.
How about that? Cash me outside. How about that?
No, don't go outside.
Cash me outside.
Cash me inside for the next 12 months.
Yeah, man, this is about to be really lasting, huh?
Anyway, so this is for our real listeners, real heads. This is gonna take the style of like a classic Friday episode that I
if you don't
used
know
to do.
If you don't know about the Friday episodes, I mean, what more can we say? It was me and Olivia really cooking with the shits,
just. Bullshitting for like a straight hour. We always said this will be a 30-minute episode every single time. A goddamn
every time
lie.
An hour.
Goddamn
absolutely
lie.
An hour every time. Well, because we don't really. Because I mean, can I say this? I love you, but we don't really talk like that. So it will also be like, oh, is that is that false?
No.
So then it will kind of just be us talking for an hour, just to be like, what's up. Isn't all this stuff stupid? And then just be talking about stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of stupid stuff, well, here's our podcast. So every week we begin Friday or not with an icon of the week. That's a person, place, thing this week that has spoken to our spirits. I don't know what is the voice that's happening this episode. But we would have an icon of the week and we talk about it. So, Olivia.
Yes.
Let me kick it over to you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Is your icon a person?
Mine is a person. Yeah.
Mine is also a person.
Oh, my God.
How
this
come
is
this
really
never-
powerful. This is really powerful for us to do on the last episode of the season.
Wow.
Yes, I do have a person.
I would love to know who.
Okay, so there are like a couple parts to this. Last night at midnight, I wrote a note on my phone that we will like circle back to. Okay.
Okay.
It, like I was like going literally like about to fall asleep. And then like a thought happened to me and then I had to write it down on my phone and we'll kind of like circle back to that.
Okay.
But my icon this week is one Miss Judy Greer. Okay. Because
very interesting.
I do. Love. I was just thinking, like, because I was thinking about, you know, Cameron Diaz and how Cameron Diaz has like stopped acting. She's doing like a wine thing now. She was like, it really took it out of me to be like a super famous person that everyone had to like, that like, everyone like needed something from all the time. Uh-huh. And now who I was just, she was like, it was too much. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, Judy Greer has kind of just been like steadily working for like decades, just vibing. And she's always great. She always does a great performance.
Way to describe her career, but it's so true. Judy Greer has just been vibing for like Judy 15 years.
Judy Greer did those like cold cut meat commercials, and it's like, that's a vibe. Cool. Go on.
Wow.
Anyway, so.
That's that Michigan spirit, though. You know, she's from Detroit.
Yeah. She's just like.
So that's like.
She's created. She's. We've talked about this before.
She was born to be in a union. You feel me? It doesn't matter what union it was, but she was born to be in a union.
This is her job. She gets SAG after insurance and like hangs out. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the here back to the note on my phone that I looked at this morning and said, What was I doing? The note that I wrote at midnight last night was,
Were you? Yeah. Quick cue. Mm-hmm. Were you buzzed?
No.
A little puff of schweed?
No.
Just pure midnight vibes.
This is pure midnight energy, okay?
Got you.
Who is more iconic? Judy Greer, Heather Graham, or Leslie Mann?
Lord have mercy.
Which I present to you now as a fuck, marry, kill.
Ooh. Starting quick out the gate with the games. Judy Greer.
Heather Graham. And Leslie Mann.
All right.
Who are all kind of like this.
Bopping around the same space.
The same like kooky white woman thing.
Well, I'm going to marry my girl Judy off rip.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy.
Yes.
Here's where it gets tough.
Okay. I have an answer for this.
I'm going to fuck Heather.
Yes.
I'm going to kill Leslie.
Yes.
That's that.
Sorry to Judd.
Sorry to Maude.
Listen, no.
Sorry like, to Iris. But it's the choice
seems great.
Make.
Leslie seems great, but you gotta marry Judy and Heather.
Yeah,
it just seems
at
like
a dinner
you know,
party. No, Heather, you gotta go.
Heather, you gotta smash.
Okay, so here's something then that I sort of present to you potentially.
Yeah, for sure.
To sort of add it up in the mix. Because maybe this makes it a little trickier. Maybe it doesn't. There's a side category that I'm thinking of now. Mm-hmm. That's like Judy Greer, mm-hmm. Ari Grainer.
Okay.
You see what I'm doing here?
Sure.
And then like, is it Melanie Lynskey?
It's almost Melanie Lynskey, but like not.
But not exactly, because really? You know what I mean.
Is it like a Kat Dennings, or is she too...
She's too... Like, she's a little yeah, too... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's too lead.
Yeah, she's too lead.
Like my girls who were sleeping on.
Yeah, for sure. It's like cool, supporting, always delivers.
Rosemary
DeWitt?
Ooh. Because it's not
but
Ellie Kemper.
It's not Ellie Kemper. There's no like bite there.
That's what I'm saying.
There has to be a bite there.
Because I'm thinking, this is also the thing, right? Born to be in a union. We got Judy from Detroit. We got Ari from Boston. You feel me? Like, born, Catholic girls born. Except Ari's not Catholic. She's Jewish. She's maybe mixed. That's a different type of mixed. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
We need that third.
Yeah. Who is it? Who is like, who has that bite?
Judy Greer biting. It's not Rose Byrne.
It was Rose Byrne in like 2010, uh-huh. 2011. Uh-huh. It was for uh-huh. sure Rose Byrne. And now we're all like hot on Rose Byrne.
Oh no, we know about her too much.
Let's think about this. Oh, do you have it?
Well, it's a left field.
Okay.
But I wonder... Because she's not in the white girls, but she's in the sleeping ons.
Mm-hmm.
Aisha Tyler.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean?
I kind of see it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? A little bit like
for
in that thing?
Sure.
In that, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas,
who's
like
has been around.
Yeah.
The only thing about her is that she did host Whose Line, which some reason is like crossing the wires in my head.
It throws it off.
But Aisha, like circa when she was like, I always forget, but she was like had a guest arc on Friends where it was just like, that is for sure the vibe.
And where you go, you're funny, you're gorgeous, you got the bite.
You know who wants to be this?
Tell me.
Jameela. Jameela wants this bite.
Well, I mean, all the girls want the bite. I mean, Zoe Deutsch wants the bite. Zoe Deutsch wants the bite bad. Sorry.
Oh.
You know who else wants the bite?
She's a little young, but she
doesn't have the res yet. Yeah. I need to see it a little further. Dakota wishes she had the bite.
Okay, yes, but Dakota also to lead. Okay, if Dakota didn't have famous parents and just had to like be in the industry because she like did theater in New York or something, I think she'd have the bite.
Well, she would need to have done theater. She would need to have a little more legs. But yeah, I completely agree. I don't know. I did a 21 Jump Street rewatch and I said, girl, I'm sorry. That's how I feel.
How does 21 Jump Street hold up?
You know, there's some holes. Mm. It's funny where it's funny. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Jonah Hill is kissing a high schooler. Ooh. We forgot about that. She's like 18.
That's like...
It really was 2012. It was a different time. But that
same thing happened in Booksmart. It's like the worst part of Booksmart.
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. Ugh. And we go, is this the flip that we're actually looking for? You know what I mean?
We go, you can fully cut a plot line out of a movie and nothing changes.
I feel like, because this is my hope, even though it's directed by two men, Lord and Miller, they're smart. And most of the movie is so smart about like the tropes of these movies and also expectations for like high schoolers in terms of like looks and... relationship what is that word, relationship dynamics. So like it's really smart about most of that stuff, and I'm like 65% feeling, it's not enough, but it's not a lot, but it's enough, 65% feeling that there was like a draft where he goes to kiss Brie Larson and she's like, bro, I know you're an adult now, what are you doing? And then it didn't test well. So that's how I feel.
That's how you feel. How I feel is, Io, I want to know who your icon is this week.
My icon this week is a comedy legend in his own right who I think maybe there isn't enough. There's a lot, but I don't know. One Mr. Tim Meadows.
Oh, perfect.
Because... I did a little rewatch of my own. Mm-hmm. I've been this is a lot of quarantine has just been rewatching, frankly.
Yeah, of course.
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Okay, I also rewatched Walk Hard. When did you watch Walk Hard? Like a month ago.
Wow. And
he is so funny in that movie.
If there was a cut of the movie, I know there's a director's cut, I know there's an extended cut, but I want a cut of the movie that is just Tim Meadows' scenes and like his ad libs. If I could have that, I would have the antidote.
And it's also funny, I was thinking, it's like, as we talked about last episode, like what's up with that follows the same beat every time and is always funny. Like Tim Meadows is telling the same joke in that movie like seven times, and it's always so funny.
And it actually only gets better.
Tim Meadows is so funny, and like all of his SNL sketches are funny. Like he
just rules.
He's so funny in Mean Girls.
Like he's so funny everywhere he shows up.
There are a couple line readings.
I'm literally laughing thinking about him.
For some reason, like I know Mean Girls is like so quotable or whatever, but I feel like the one that sticks in my head the most is when all the girls are fighting in the hallway and he's like, "I did not leave the South Side for this." Like this is a good pick. I love this.
He just is like the GOAT. Like everywhere he shows up, you're like, yeah, thanks, it's better.
He also has like the quality of his voice is like so unique and like funny and like smooth. It's why like the ladies' man works as like a whole thing, because you're like, oh yeah, I, you know, this would be a guy who like thinks he can do this, like.
But it's like, who gave him that idea? Like, who actually gave him that idea? And but you just believe it when he's like a loser. You believe it when he's like the principal. Like, he just is like, has that every man
he should
quality
be like,
but it's such a standout.
He's one of those people who like when he's doing sketch or whatever, he's also like acting.
It's yes,
like one of those things where it's like, oh, this is like a performance, you're not just like dicking around or whatever.
His pop star never stop stomping role is also so good.
Who is he in Popstar? I haven't seen Popstar since it came out.
He's his manager. There's one thing where he goes to Andy's Hamburg. Popstar never stop stomping, which saw in theaters,
I think, with you.
You were there.
We saw it together.
Yeah, we were there. I think we were just like sitting apart from each other.
It was like, yeah, it was like a group of us, and we were all kind of sitting in different parts of the theater.
Well, because it was one of those theaters that had the like the long seats. Where, do you remember? And we were all like sitting far away from each other. And I remember having so much fun sticking up like our legs, like moving the chairs to our legs. Good, go up. Anyway, there's this one scene where he just goes to Andy Samberg, who's like, what am I gonna do? Like, does anybody have any ideas? And he goes, one, but you aren't gonna like it. Andy Samberg is like, aren't. He's just like, aren't.
God. So funny.
He just rules.
He's definitely someone where it's like, oh, you're a legend. Like,
yes.
100% absolute. Pure legend.
Pure legend, top to bottom. That movie.
Popstar is so funny. Like, people it should have made slept on Popstar, but it's like
$1 billion.
The part in Popstar where like the bees start attacking Andy Samberg and they like cut the.
Also, Tim Meadows, I think, is the other one of that. Yes.
And also, nothing really makes me laugh harder than those TMZ sections. With
so no, and Eric Andre in that fucking wig, and Mike Birbiglia being funny,
like Will Arnett with the straw, just like
all the fucking straws. The post credit scene where they're all like crying with each other because they're like, I had dreams to come to Hollywood, but I dropped out of school. I don't know why I'm so mean. I love you guys. I just want to hang out with y'all, but never felt like we could hang out. After work together, rules. 10 out of 10 movie for me.
I love it. Feeling good about these icons.
Feeling really good about these icons. And you know what I'm also feeling good about? Bringing back an old classic.
Oh, hit me.
Baby, it's time to play a little game of celebrity stock market.
Ring-a-ding-ding. That's the ding stock dong bell.
On the dang bell. You know what time it is. And if you don't, I'm about to tell you. Check your watch. It's stock market time. Stock market is a little segment where Olivia and I on the Friday episodes would take a glance at the celebrity moment happening, and we would say, all right, these celebrities, they're people, yeah, but they're meat, they're capital, they're coke money for me to sniff up, sniff sniff, snorty snort snort, and be mean to my wife and abandon my child, only for him, many years later, to be my boss at the very company in which I put in years of work, nailing in the coffin, the nail of, in the coffin of betrayal.
That was good. You really, you.
Thanks. I haven't had enough water today.
So the way this works is that Io and I have picked three. What? Io just like
I just was talking so much. I just because I was like I just lost what I was saying when I was talking, and it was like just you being like the way this works. Like I realized I just didn't say anything of substance at all.
Okay, so the way this works is that Io and I have picked three things to buy, sell, and hold. Those three things are not stocks, they are people, but those are the same thing. Those are one and the same. So Io, I will kick it to you and ask, what are you buying? Also to note, this is not for this week. This is for like the past several months. We're kind of wrapping up our season. Like, what's the vibe? What are you buying?
I've got two buys.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I've got two buys. One is the fucking USPS.
Bro. Bro.
Like, huh? I'm tired of people having money and not coming up to swoop in and buy things. They get good PR. That's the whole point of being rich. Buy something, help us out.
And it's also, it's like, people shouldn't have to, like, buy shit to make it work. Like, the USPS shouldn't have to make money for it to exist. Like,
right.
Shouldn't have to buy stamps to save the fucking post office. Huh?
That also, that, like, the big solve is, like, let's do a little bit of capitalism, y'all.
No.
Come on.
What? Should I, like, start a war to make the military make money? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Anyway, mess. So, anyway, that.
Okay, yes. Of course, we're buying the post office.
But I'm buying a friend of the pot.
Ooh.
I wonder. Now I'm very curious what you. I'm buying Z-Way.
Oh, my God.
Honey, I'm trying to get in early.
Let's say, no one has really, like, done well during quarantine, except maybe for Z-Way.
Z-Way won.
Thrived.
Z-Way won.
Every single episode of Baited is, like, the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I love it for her. And listen, we should have known. When she came in and did herself, we should have known.
I honestly do think that... We are an important stepping stone for her. I don't want to insert ourselves in the narrative, but Z-Way, if you were paying attention to Z-Way, you knew she was going to blow up when she picked herself as her icon.
It's really iconic. And she predicted it. She saw it. We also said, what's the material? She said, just wait. And lo and behold, a pandemic struck, and she was the only person to figure out a smart way to capitalize, the only way that you can sort of deliver live comedic material to people.
Her interview with Alexis Nyers was, like, truly one of the most interesting, like, all of the they're, like, flashier ones, but that one is, like, so genuinely interesting in a way that, like, Z-Way just gets Alexis to, like, open up about, like, so many things and, like, be so apologetic, but also, like, she is, like, one of the people who, for some reason, unlike, like, Allison Roman or whatever, like,
that
was,
interview,
like, so defensive. And Alexis was, like, I fucked up. Like, I actually think
the Allison one is one of my favorite ones, because I feel like
Allison one is very telling.
Interesting. I really enjoyed it, and it made me walk away both appreciating Z-Way as an interviewer and being like, yeah, I like Allison Roman ultimately. She just, like,
really
is, yeah, I actually really did, because I just was like, yeah, you're just white and you know you're white.
Yeah, I still think about Allison saying, like, when Z-Way was like, how many black friends do you have, and Allison was like who would pick me up from the airport.
I loved and made me laugh.
It is because so funny.
I'm about to go to the airport soon, and I was like, I have nobody to drop me off. I have nobody drop me off. That's not true, but I was like, I don't think I have any. Oh, wait, actually, well, now I'm like, how many black friends do I have that would drop me off at the airport? I think three.
That's good.
Yeah. How many you got?
How many?
Because then you also have to think who has a car.
Right.
To be honest.
No, literally.
This is
a question of how many black friends do I know who have a car and would drive me to the airport? Zero. Unless we're counting like my literal family. But, like.
Well, okay. And this is how Baited lives on. I just think it's, and she, but Baby Girl has a book deal.
Major book deal. Hello.
Major. And, like, it's just, I think, this close to having a TV show if it's not already happening already. Which makes me really excited, because I think, I know that there are people who don't necessarily understand the fact that it's comedic. And I think it being on live definitely, like, makes some of those things hard, because it's, like, those nuances get lost when people are, like, she's canceled, she's racist, in the comments, like, live, and, like, you're reading it, and all of that is informing the show. I think it works as well, and, like, she knows how to, she wants to work its way around that, But I think, like, when you watch the videos that were on Above Average, or, like, I don't know, when you just, like, read interviews, you can, like, see. There's levels. There's levels.
She is, like, very adamant about the fact that it's, like, comedic. Like, she, yes. In every interview, she's like, this is supposed to be funny. Like, I'm doing a comedy show. Please don't, like, I'm not trying to just cancel people in real time. Yeah. And then people are like, well, Zeeway is canceling people. And it's like, yes. No, listen to her.
It's also like, Zeeway is like a journalist and a civil rights leader. And it's like, I mean, sure, but also no. She's like a writer and a comedian. But yeah, I don't know. It's all very fascinating. And I think fascination alone is a part of the makings of an icon. And it's working, so I'm buying.
And, you know, she shows up to those lives every single time in the most beautiful outfit I've ever seen. Like, the elbow-length glove, like, just full. That's icon status. Bye-bye-bye.
And people want to know. People want to know where they're from. And she says, I don't know. You tell me. It's working, baby. So we buy. Olivia, who you buying?
Okay, I, in a twist from my icon, I'm not buying a person, I am buying a concept, which is the dumb as fuck Netflix reality shows that have kind of swooped in during quarantine and will very keep good. Swooping in, yeah, hopefully forever. I just started selling Sunset.
Olivia.
Yes.
I didn't know this.
Yes. I almost texted you, but I'm not, like, deep enough in to have, like, a true opinion yet, except for those two brothers that run everything seem like perverts, and I don't like them.
Who hire women that look like they're from, like, women. Stomp porn? Because they're 4 feet tall.
They're so small. They're also bald. It's like, you can't be short and bald. Like, pick one.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But I do love Christine, and I love Mary, but I am concerned about her and Romaine. But I also was thinking about Love is Blind. I was thinking about that one where they all went on the island and couldn't... Too Hot to Handle.
Too Hot to Handle.
Just, like, any, like, Netflix show. I also watch all of Unsolved Mysteries. Just, like, love the that. Dumbest shit.
Have you seen Love on the Spectrum yet?
Not yet, but I don't know. Is it good?
Olivia, it's perfect.
Okay, great. See, this is what I want from Netflix. I don't want prestige from Netflix. I literally just want, like... hot bullshit. Like,
yes,
it feels so smooth to my brain, and I think we're only at, like, the tip of the iceberg right now, and it will go deeper.
It's getting smoother. Yeah, great, that's smart.
Oh, I also watch all of fucking Indian Matchmaking, which, talk about a smooth brain experience. Jesus Christ,
like egg.
What's so incredible about Indian Matchmaking is that it has no care about finishing a plot line. It has no care about, like, wrapping things up with the people you start with. It just kind of ends, and you say, what happened to Aparna? And you simply do not know. We simply don't know what happened to Aparna.
Something happened. Something dark.
Something horrible, maybe. And it's whatever. They introduce another person at the very end, and I was like, what is the point of this? And the point is that I'll watch as many seasons as, you know, Papa and
as they provide. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, whatever they say, I'll do. Well, sometimes it can't all be joy. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes we sell. Sometimes we save. This celebrity, this concept, it's not good. I'm not doing it no more. And I'm selling Ellen.
Selling Ellen. That's
I'm
good.
I'm selling
You gotta. Ellen. Did you see that she and Kevin Hart were hanging out this weekend?
Yeah, of course I saw that she and Kevin. Yes, of course I saw that.
I saw those pictures and I was like, I cannot imagine a worse, like, as a server, I cannot imagine a worse experience than, like, serving Ellen and Kevin Hart. I don't
also,
think
but,
tip.
Like, having a serious conversation, like, ugh.
Right, like, ugh, God, I just think about them, like, both talking about, like, being canceled or whatever, and the fact that Kevin Hart was canceled, like, for being homophobic is, it's, like, oh, actually, rich people, like, don't care about anything at all except, like, being and staying rich, like.
Yes, well, because it's not about relevance, because if it was, they would be not doing this.
No.
Like, not money hoarding.
Ugh. That's a great sell. I'm glad that... It's also funny because people have been saying that, like, Ellen sucks for years.
Yes.
And, like in the industry or whatever. And now everyone else knows. And that's great. I love that.
I'm just ready to let it go. I know that obviously Ellen has like important like history. You know, famously, my very homophobic aunt says, "I think I like when she dances," and obviously that rocked the nation, and really changed things in terms of you know, queer relationships to the church. But here's the thing: I think we also need to remember, like, we're learning as a nation, like, marginalized people actually can be evil. They find new ways every day. I myself am learning and growing every day.
As am I, you know, but it is, I feel like we say this every other week, but, like, you can be a part of a marginalized community and
yes.
suck ass.
Like, yes.
That simply will not stop you if you're rich enough, especially. From sucking complete ass.
It, no. And that's, and actually, now that you say it like that, I'm finding it very beautiful.
Remember, class solidarity is the one true solidarity, and rich people don't care about you.
No.
That's how I feel about that. Fuck Ellen.
Mm-hmm. And Olivia, who are you going to sell?
I am going to sell one... MacArthur genius, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Wow. So your Gen Z alliance comes out like this.
Yeah, obviously. I'm obviously aligned with the Zoomers. Why wouldn't I be?
I think I, like, am just too bad at TikTok to, like...
That's okay.
It just makes me sad.
There is this, like, 13-year-old...
And also somebody I don't like keeps going, "You're Gen Z," as, like, an insult. And then it makes me mad. And I go, I'm yeah. kind of a millennial, too.
I do the opposite where people are like, "You're a millennial," and I'm like, "Actually, sorry." But there's this 13-year-old girl on TikTok who I'm obsessed with, who like draws on a goatee with like Sharpie and like duets people singing like Hamilton, and she she's so funny. But yeah, the Zoomers hate him. I watched Hamilton on Disney Plus and said, "Oh, he's bad. He's bad at this." And everyone else is like doing running circles around him in a way that's honestly impressive that no one ever like stopped that ship and said, "Maybe you shouldn't be the star of the show because you can't act and you can't sing and you can't really dance. So what's up?" Also watching it.
Yeah. What's
up? Also watching it. I was like, "Oh, this is like, you know, less, a show about Hamilton and more a show about what Lin-Manuel Miranda thinks about himself." And so that kind of
In the Heights, I think it's like he like let Usnavi be kind of like
he's like a dork
loser. Yeah. Yeah. And so like it was like, okay, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Great. And also like, that show is so much more like he like lets the singers sing and he does a lot of like rapping and like he just, I don't know. Hurricane is hard to watch.
Okay, so I saw Hamilton long after he was gone and like a really beautiful man who's like handsome.
Yes.
Saying Hurricane, and I was like, "Well, this musical is good."
That makes so much more sense to me because there's like a big 45-minute chunk in the middle of the show where everyone is like fawning after him, talking about how hot he is and has they'll have to like sit on his lap and like kiss him and like
And there's
cry
like
over
two
him.
Women like singing in his face, like rubbing themselves on his leg.
And it's like
jerking. Yeah.
It's like, make him hot. Sorry. People need to be self-aware.
I obviously, he's my famously my Twitter mutual, so sure, I just want to be like, you know, positive. No, just kidding. I don't know. Yeah, it's like I saw it with a hot man who had a very lovely singing voice, and so I was like, this is good. And also was like very much obsessed with the cast recording for a really long time. But also, I wonder how much of that was also just a product of like going to NYU and knowing that I would never ever get a ticket. For many years, and that was true.
Famously, I was studying abroad in Paris, being incredibly depressed when the cast album came out, and so now I can't really like listen to it without thinking about
Parisian depression.
Yeah, like smoking cigarettes and walking along the Seine by myself. So like that's kind of a no-go for me. But but watching it, I was like, oh, this is like stunningly choreographed. This is like beautiful. Like all of these, like David Diggs is doing incredible work here. Like Lamar Odom is doing incredible work here. I just am like, there's just like an ego thing with Lin-Manuel that is making me want to sell him. And also the fact that the Zoomers have gone out on him.
That's no, just well, of course, those are your people.
Those are my people. I ride for them. Even if I'm a little older than them, I'll support them in their endeavors.
And I say I'm watching. I say I'm watching, I'm learning, I'm listening. And I support everybody in whatever they do.
That's really brave of you. Thank
well,
you
so that's much. How I'm, that's all how I'm going to get ahead. Most of this is just watching and agreeing with whatever's correct at the time. So whatever is correct, I agree with.
Okay, and then there's one more thing. There's mm-hmm. one more thing.
Mm-hmm. For people speaking of watching, watching and waiting.
Speaking of watching, there you go. Some people, some things, you know, you don't want to sell, you don't want to buy. You want to just like sit and wait and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And that's called a hold. So mm-hmm. Io, what/who are you holding?
Olivia, well, it's a what.
Okay.
And it's celebrity culture at large.
Okay. This is, yes. Okay.
I prep some good ones.
Hold on. I'm going to pause and just do mine because I feel like we can talk
I kinda
more
want
about
it to.
Yours.
Let's do it.
So mine is also kind of a concept, but it is like the pop girls minus Katy Perry. Because many of them have released albums in the last few months that are great, like, dance bangers. We have Gaga, we have Dua Lipa, we have Jessie Ware. Uh-huh. Like, Rina Sawayama had an incredible album this year. Like, the girls made a bunch of music that was not for the time period, and I'm just curious to see, like, how that all shakes out for them in the long term. Like, there's no tour. And also, this is kind of just like music at large. Like, so much of that money comes from touring.
Touring.
Like,
merch that you get
like
while
album
you're touring.
Bundles. Like, what is that going to look like? Like, I want to, you know, I want to shake my ass to Chromatica as much as the next bitch. But that's just simply not doable safely for the foreseeable future. So, like, what happens to, like, pop music when the spaces that you like listen to it and enjoy it like aren't available?
This is what's interesting to me, kind of, is also like the only girls who to me have really been making it work, Chloe and Halle.
Okay, iconic tennis court. Chloe and Halle. Yeah. But they also have Beyonce behind them, which the other girls do not. Like,
no.
If I had Parkwood, if any of these girls had Parkwood, like, we'd all be making incredible content all the time, making it work. Because Beyonce, you know, refuses to not make it work. That's her whole thing.
That's her whole entire thing.
That's her whole entire thing.
From her editing of her own photos. Remember that? She made it work.
I know. Did you see Peyton's tweet about Beyonce getting her Photoshop taken away, that like the Beehive was like, let her have fun. But yeah, Chloe and Halle are doing great. I'm happy for them. Which one is in
like
the Little Mermaid? Is it Chloe?
Chloe.
I hope that comes out eventually. Who knows?
I hope so too.
Hold cute on, movie theaters. Jesus.
Hooey. And that's Bruh. That's a hold hold.
Will if I ever it, see Tenet?
Will any of us ever see Tenet? Did you know they shot each scene forward and backwards? Every day I go back and forth between being like, I am going to murder Christopher Nolan with my own two hands and dry feet, and then being like, I need to see it though.
I listen. I would.
I need
to
remember
Tenet,
how tall
also,
Elizabeth Debicki is and how they're going to try to work around.
She's
going to
be Princess Diana in The Crown.
But talk about stompy stompy.
Talk
about selling
Philip?
Sunset.
Not Prince Philip. Who's the
Prince Charles?
No, it is Philip. Stompy stompy.
Yeah, but Prince Charles, you meant, right?
Charles, yeah.
No offense, but that is what
no,
you meant.
Right? I know. I don't understand how royals work.
They're white. That's how.
Thank you so much.
Oh, they're white. Oh. Okay.
But let's get into the business of celebrity culture at large being on hold.
Oh, also the actor who's going to play him is an actor I like. Sorry.
Who is it?
Josh O'Connor. Mm. He was in that movie. He plays somebody. He plays somebody gay, I was going to say. God's Own Country.
Oh.
You ever see that?
No, but I know you love it.
Where he's really good in it.
Around in the mud.
And yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Who did I see that with? Maybe Connor?
I bet it was Connor.
It was either Connor or Sachi.
Is this interesting to people?
Better be. Which one of my friends that you do not know did I see God's Own Country with? But yes. Talk to me.
I mean, it's your thing, so I'll let you kick it off. But I do think that, like, for a number of reasons, people are like, celebrities are stupid and I hate it.
Yeah, I just, for me, I think so much of this moment. Oh, wait, were we done talking about the pop girls?
Yeah.
Okay, how do we get to the crowd? Am I okay?
We were talking about Elizabeth Debicki.
How'd I get to
in
her?
Tenet.
Oh, yeah. Because movie theaters. Oh, God almighty. Well, yeah. I just think right now, I'm always thinking about Debicki. Right now, it's just been so interesting. And I think part of it started, there's been a real lack of gossip, right? Because nothing's really happening. Everybody's in their homes. And so I think it really started with the, like, Imagine video for me, where it's like, well, we're not getting, like, the gossip, we're not getting the juice, we're not getting these things that we really want, which also are the things that celebrities don't want us to know. So what we're getting is what they're giving us, and what they're giving us is really annoying, and, like, further proof that they're so disconnected with real life, save a very few people. But even the people who I think are, like, normally spokespeople, you know, like your Miley Cyrus's, for example, and again, all the people who showed up in the Imagine video, it's like, stop. Yeah. Like, you act like if you're not going to offer money or physical help, like, just your presence is aggravating. Yeah. And at a point in the quarantine, I think during the protests, like, Ashton Kutcher released this video where he was, like, crying.
Oh, yeah, he was, like, crying over, like, explaining Black Lives Matter to his kids.
By using, like, an anecdote about, like, girls and boys and, like, sobbing. And I posted, this is really funny. And I posted, like, no shade, but this is simply very funny. And so many people got mad at me and were like, this one guy, my favorite reply ever, went, how cute, you B-list celebrity commenting on somebody actually doing good. And I responded, thank you for calling me a B-list celebrity. Thank you for calling me first of all, a celebrity. I've got one Twitter account and two writing jobs. Slay. But, like, it just was very funny to me, the video. And also people getting worked up and, like, defending these people. And I get it, like, people have platforms and they can use them to, like, share information, but even, like, when I'm sharing things, I'm like, I'm just sharing it. I don't actually know if it's helpful, because I don't have connections to, like, politicians, because I haven't been on, like, a sitcom for 11 years, and I don't, like, have, like, connections to people who have made social media websites so I can directly be in contact with that. Like, I don't have that. And, like, those are actually people who have resources and, like, party with people who are rich and wealthy and in their own ways are hoarding wealth and then are being annoying.
No, I think it's also, it's like, since celebrities have nothing to promote anymore, basically, like, we are just getting their, like, unfiltered content in a way where it's like those videos Madonna posts of herself living in her house, where it's like, oh, you're, like, not, like, one, like, none of them are interesting.
No. Yes.
It's like, first of all, second of all, like, none of them are attached to any form of reality that, like, you or I understand. And, like,
and to, like, see the same, like, then impulses of being like, I need attention,
right,
and people who are so disconnected from,
and it's like,
that is annoying.
If you're gonna do that. Be right. eccentric or something. Like, it's interesting to see, like, Shia LaBeouf out and about, because I'm like, oh, you're, like, actually, like, a weirdo, and, like, yes. that's interesting to me.
Yes.
But it's, like, or, like, even like, January Jones, I'm like, oh, you're a freak.
No, you're
and, like,
really
this
weird.
Is interesting to me. But, like, seeing, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of something, but, like, Ashton Kutcher, Madonna, like, anyone super famous try to, like, interact with this moment is, like, oh,
yeah, enough.
Give me a break.
So that to me, I think it's just interesting. I can feel it's weird because though, like, I'm still aware, like, influencers are still influencing and people yeah. are still liking, you know, like seeing Kendall Jenner in a fucking like bikini or whatever. But like at the same time, it does feel like there's like this growing. I don't know if resentment is the right word or irritation or what.
I've been thinking about is that, like, I don't care really, like, what a celebrity, like, tells me, but uh-huh. I care about, like, what isn't, like, when Bella Hadid, like, posts a video of her in her house, and it's, like, that video is not interesting to me, but, like, the weird array of snacks that are on the table behind her
yes.
are, like, much more telling. Or, like,
yes.
that, but another Hadid when Gigi was like, this is my beautiful house. And everyone was like, wait. Like, no, like, you're a weirdo who has no taste. Or, like, Lana living in Oklahoma and, like, getting those bad highlights. Like, that is all much more interesting to me than the Imagine video, than people being like, how are you holding up in quarantine? Like, like
holding space for you. Let's all stretch love. Together on my IG live.
Right.
Tonight.
Sign this petition. I have $20 million. It's like, what are you doing?
I just want to know.
I don't care about that.
I just want to know because I don't
you
care
don't
about
that. You don't need all that money.
Speaking of, it's time for a game. Obviously a perfect transition, which people will speak about for decades to come. Olivia, I made a little game.
I'm excited to play it.
This game is a game that I made today. And it came from an experience I had a few days ago.
Okay.
Because I watched Kevin Costner in a movie. Okay. And I said, what the heck? And I went on this IMDb and I found some quotes and the quotes were really weird. And so now I've made a little game for you of quotes from Kevin Costner and you have to guess which one is real, which one is fake. It's time to play the Costner Conundrum.
I hate your ass. Okay.
Round one. Ding, ding, dang. Quote number one. Ongoing bald. I'm not into plugs, rugs, or drugs to correct this problem and would rather just shave it off. Quote number two, on Field of Dreams. It's funny because I made it during a real dark point in my life and I don't have many memories of it, but that's the irony of being an actor. You make others happy with what can make you sad. Quote number three, on Dances with Wolves. This is a bonding film for all. You could put it anywhere in history, the Berlin Wall, Kuwait. Which is real. And which is fake. One is fake, two are real.
Wait, one is fake?
And two are real.
I think the Field of Dreams one is fake.
Because it's the most normal?
Yeah.
Correct. Ding, 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 number two.
Dances with Wolves set in Kuwait.
Berlin Wall, Kuwait, you know, anywhere in history. Berlin Wall, Kuwait. Quote number two. On playing dress up. I'm not a guy who likes Halloween, so I'm a little at odds with what I've chosen to do with my life. I've never liked going to a party dressed as a pirate, because when you get past that initial, oh, you're a pirate, you feel a little silly for the rest of the party. Quote number two. The first rugby game of my life is one I'll never forget. I cried in the stadium. I really did. And I don't care who says a real man can't cry. I've cried all my life and I'll cry some more. It's good for you. Quote number three. I can't say I really see much difference between my son and daughters, except that my daughters will occasionally make me a sandwich and my son won't.
No.
Which is real.
No.
Which is fake.
I want it to be the kids one, but I think it's the rugby one.
It is the rugby one that is fake. Round number three. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, I'm incredible at this game.
My gun's an heirloom to me and my son. One day when I'm gone, excuse me. My gun's an heirloom to me and my son, one day when I'm gone, is gonna know your dad hunted with that. But even though with the connection I have to my gun, can I look at the NRA and say, I think you're out of line? I think I can say that. Quote number two. Real heroes are men who fall and fail and are flawed, but win out in the end because they've stayed true to their ideals and beliefs and commitments. Quote number three. I'm not into tattoos. I appreciate the help they provided in Waterworld, but in my own personal life, I have to say no, because I'm just too old-fashioned. Maybe it's because I find them to be an occupational hazard. Sure, there's cover-up now, but if you're really committed to the craft, why would you get one? Wow. Which is fake.
Is it the gun one?
Unfortunately, that one is real. And quote number two, real heroes are men who fall and fail and are flawed, but win out in the end because they've stayed true to their ideals and beliefs and commitments is true. And it is from an interview in Cigar Aficionado magazine.
You made up the Waterworld one? I made up the Waterworld one. That is good. That was so good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Final really round.
Like, okay, wait.
It sounds like him, right?
Yeah, I thought I almost picked that one, and I was like, no, it's like too specific.
Well, it's in his voice, so it's perfectly specific.
You're a perfect writer. one more.
Cool. Okay, final round. Ding, ding, ding. Quote one. I'm happy about the things I've done. Not always happy about the results, but happy about the decisions because I made them myself, and I think that's an important way to go through life. Quote number two, on the Iraq war. I don't want to, quote number two, on the Iraq war. I don't want to turn my back on that Bush family. They've been gracious to me. We're supposed to evolve from frontier justice. I think that the Old West mythology is a good thing to have in your spine, but it shouldn't operate your brain. It's nice to know that you are willing to fight, but it's good to know how smart you are about not fighting. Quote number three. On nuclear weapons. It's a difficult thing because they're already here, right? But even when people say they are a necessary evil, I can't see that. Evil is evil. I just say don't use them anymore. Blow them up in the ocean for all I care. Just get rid of the damn things.
I think the nuclear weapons one is fake.
Yeah, it's fake. But the first quote, I'm happy about the things that I've done. Not always happy about the results, but happy about the decisions because I made them myself. And I think that's an important way to go through life. From the same interview in Cigar Aficionado magazine.
Who is doing the interview? Do you think...
Okay, David Gia McMarco. David Gia McMarco.
Okay, I'm going to say, do you think Kevin Costner will just tell anyone anything? Or do you think David Gia McMarco is like a really good interviewer?
I think he will tell anyone anything. I think you will absolutely tell anyone anything.
I do love the idea of like Kevin Costner is like shooting a movie in your town, and
yeah,
like you just like go to the bar by yourself one night and you like look over and you're like, oh my god, that's Kevin Costner, and you guys just like chat all night and he tells you everything he thinks about like nuclear power and like his own life choices and like the Bush family and like whatever. I love it.
I will say, I think I'm going to get a subscription to Cigar Aficionado magazine.
Clearly, there is, like, some good stuff in there.
I mean, just example, from an interview with Robert De Niro. Did you ever watch The Sopranos? De Niro, no. Interesting. So my next question might not apply. Did you ever think of being on The Sopranos? De Niro, no. And so interviews like this.
Why are these men doing these?
Because there's Cigar Aficionados, Olivia.
I'm just like, I don't get the like purpose of the whatever.
I think there's like more magazines than we realize, and I think
I totally get it, but it just feels like with
those. Here's my deep thought. there's more magazines than we realize.
There's like I don't know, if you're Robert De Niro, you like don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And so for them to be like Cigar Aficionado, yes, absolutely, I love it.
I think he might have more bills to pay than we realize.
Oh, well, yeah, because there was that thing where he was like, if, what does he owe Nobu? Yeah. Like, if Nobu doesn't reopen, I won't make any money this year.
Yeah, he's fucked. So he's got to do these interviews. Well, speaking of interviews, it's almost time for ours with each other to close. I consider this an interview.
Mm-hmm. I had some booch in my mouth.
Speaking of booch, you know, this quarantine, that's been something new for me. That's been a journey for me, discovering kombucha, drinking it, enjoying it, I would even say.
I'm proud of you. I'm glad you have those probiotics in your gut.
They're rumbling around for sure. Olivia, has there been something new for you this quarantine that you've discovered, enjoyed for yourself?
I do, not to like beat on the same drum, but I do think it's like this like bad reality TV that I can just watch in like a single weekend. Cause I'm like, usually, I don't know, the, like 2020 for some reason has been the year of me really, really, really getting into just like whatever is put in front of me. But I am really into Selling Sunset. I'm really into real estate now. Yikes. I like spend so much time on Zillow just being like, what if I bought a house? What if I did that? Could be cute. I don't know. But that's me. I also have been saving a lot of money in a boring turn.
Oh, I like that for you. Just been
putting a lot of money in a savings account.
That's good.
I know.
That's really good.
Being prudent. I am. My birthday is next week, and I am do think I'm going to buy myself a dumb, expensive Bodhi shirt. But that's, you know, that's my business.
It's yours, and you do what you need to do with it. I think you should.
Thank you. I'll send it to you after this. It's cute.
Oh, I want to see it.
Vroom?
Did you hear that? They're going to ask me.
I thought you said something and then you asked. What's something new you've been into during quarantine?
No, actually.
No, because you said kombucha and then threw it back to me.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that counts. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to let that count. Let me see the shirt after, though.
I will.
I gotta start wearing nice things in my house. That's what I want to do. How about this? And then we'll do. And then I'll say, that's something I want to do is like start wearing nice things just for myself because we've been really rocking the big t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny short.
Sure. Yeah.
In a way that something's got to change.
It's nice to, people are like, well, putting on pants, but I have to put on pants every day or else it makes me feel like not myself.
Yeah. I get it. I get it. Maybe I think I've been doing it as like maybe like once a week for a treat, but it's like this should not be a treat. Gotta get it together. And you know what I want to get together? I want to get together one last game of Vroom Vroom with you, my pal, Olivia.
Would love to. I have the list in front of me.
Yes.
And I have a really chaotic suggestion for us to like really close it out on like a scary thing.
Well, yeah, that's how it needs to go. It needs to be terrifying.
Okay. So, speaking of our shared HBO Max account, apparently the most viewed show on HBO Max was Love Life, starring one Miss Anna Kendrick.
And that's the most viewed.
Yes.
In terms of people watching it.
Yes. According
with
to
their eyes.
With their eyes. Well, the scrappy little nobody herself, Anna Kendrick.
Okay.
That's my suggestion for us.
All right. Okay.
Are we doing this together?
Yeah, we have to.
We have to.
I can't do this alone.
Okay.
I just need to maybe take a second just emotionally too.
Yeah, for sure.
I just want to be clear. I'm not thinking. I'm taking a second to breathe.
No, I know. I am sorry for inviting this chaos into our lives, but it just, it felt right. Is wiping away.
I'm gonna be okay. This will be fun. Sorry, that one was hard for me. All right, well, you know what it is. Should we do a minute on the clock?
A minute on the clock, yeah.
And how about this, even dare I say, we have to speak about the ways that this film will abide by quarantine filming SAG guidelines.
So we're winning her one, like, soon? Is that kind of the idea? Is that like a 2022 Oscar ceremony?
We can't wait till she gets old. We gotta do one now.
Okay. Ready? 1 minute to win Anna Kendrick an Oscar? Go. Okay, so it's lead, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, it's lead. Here's something. Is it a musical?
It's like a modern musical, yeah.
Yeah, contemporary. She tried to do it with Last 5 Years, and it didn't work.
It didn't work, because it just the material wasn't there. Here's something. Mm-hmm. We're, like, winning her an Oscar. Like, Lin-Manuel probably did the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Pasek and Paul.
Well, that was, but with the wins, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Or what's the one that's the man and the woman team?
Oh, the Frozen? Yeah. I think they're the Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I think that could be, like, their brave foray into live action, but we have to figure out the plot. And I feel like it has to, like, lean so much on her if we're doing COVID-friendly shooting.
Yeah. Maybe it's, like, a young woman who, like, all her friends are getting married. Remember that musical that, like, happened where it was, like, the guy and, like, all the women he knew were, like, getting married? Like,
oh, that guy. Was... what was that called? It was a Joshua Harmon thing, but it wasn't a musical. It was a play.
But we're making it a musical and straight washing it. And I mean, already by proxy of that.
Yes.
Kind of good. Significant Other, I think.
Yes.
So we're making
a show that made me cry my eyes out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about that later. So we're going to straight wash it.
Sure. We're straight washing Significant Other. All her friends are getting married. And she is, like, alone.
Yeah.
She, like, lives alone. She, like, works in her house, very COVID-friendly. Mm-hmm. She, like, spends a lot of time by herself. And, like, her friends probably all live elsewhere.
Yeah. And there can be, like, a fun song that, like, does, like, time stuff, like, tempo stuff with, like, Zoom delays. That's a fun song. That song's getting nominated for Best Song.
Yes, of course. And I think just, like, I do think if we said it, like, during the pandemic and it's, like, a timely, like, commentary upon the state of everything, like, she could win an Oscar for that.
Yeah. Commentary and maybe, like, she has an ex who was, like, a black man and maybe that's too much stuff. I'll take that out. I don't know. And he was, like, the one that got away or something.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. Get something for
if we open on her learning that her ex-fiance like killed himself or whatever,
great,
there we go.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, perfect. Love. She doesn't cry for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end she finally cries.
Oh, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Let someone like build up emotion for like 2 hours and they're like, it's so cold.
She's like also so bubbly and everybody's like always is like, oh, she's the bubbly one, she's fine. And it's just because she's hiding all these things, because that was also kind of the thing that worked about she and Blake Lively in that movie that is not
yes
is actually fine. But it was that it's like her whole thing is that she's bubbly, but she's like really twisted underneath. And this is like she's act bubbly, but she's like there's like a darkness that she's hiding. And she's singing like a big song at the end, finally, and there's like the moment that's set up for the big note, and then she just cries.
Oh,
finally.
That's great.
And that's what we play. That's a little clippy clip we give.
That's a little clippy clip. She sings the Zoom song at the ceremony.
Yeah.
Like, bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bam bing. Boom, boom, boom. Bitty bing, bong, bong. Bitty, bitty, bum, bum.
Bitty, bitty, bum, bum. Bum, bum.
So... with that, I believe it's the end of the season.
I believe it is, too. We're clocking in at a cool, like, hour 10.
Yeah, perfect. Olivia, I miss you.
Miss you. I am looking forward to when we can see each other in person again.
I don't know when it will be, to be frank.
I don't know either. No, neither do I, and that's what makes me, like, uncomfortable and like nervous, because usually I can be like, oh, I'll be in LA, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, but you can't do that.
I can't just pop over.
No,
this is not 2019 where I can pop over to LA 4 times in a year and just be like, wah.
Yeah, and I'd be like, I'm being in New York for a week. That's how I sound, by the way.
I didn't do New York for the week.
Well, I spent a lot of money, and I won't say on what and where, but I spent a lot of money.
But it was spent. The money was spent.
Well, that's the Boston accent that I worked so hard to train off.
And Do you want to go to the bar?
Is that what Boston sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay. But you got an arm in your arm. But you got... Matt Damon.
Spotlight.
Glam Turner. Glam Turner. Monkey Girl by Finley Park. And Monkey for President.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this season. We appreciate it.
We started with a hello, hello, hello. And, you know, we're going to clock it out with a goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. Hopefully, we will be able to take this end of the season and just reflect. Share the podcast with your friends if you like some episodes. Like, and review, subscribe. Well, maybe cut that out.
She's Italian now.
I'm Italian now. I travel. I've been traveling a lot, actually, this quarantine. So it's actually been really positive for me. The airports are completely empty, and it's really nice. But yeah, you know, share podcast, and hopefully we'll be back sooner rather than later, and we'll be able to have some more fun guests, more fun episodes, some games. Maybe I'll be canceled, and I'll be more free, and we'll have Friday episodes again.
I would love to play the Costner Conundrum every single week if we could, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
But hopefully it all shakes out for the best. We really appreciate y'all. And
we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, it's emotional.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram.